years ago, it was George Whitefield who, you know, was a very loud, bold preacher in England. He's come to the U.S. quite a bit of times. He was known for speaking and preaching no amplification to his voice. And they said he could be heard for 5 miles away. He was a very animated preacher. Most people got up then. It was a smart guy and in a robe, and he would read some exhortation from the Bible. And it was like a, you know, real dry and dusty. And Whitefield would get up, and his voice just boomed. And people, you know, was like, man, what's the secret here? And he said, you know, the problem is, he says, preachers often, they don't really believe what they're saying. You can tell it. He said, it's almost like they have something that's very real, and when they get up and they present it, it becomes something very artificial. He said, if you go to the acting stage, you got people that have something that's fake and not real, and they act and execute like it is. And he said, so more preachers need to do just that. So I felt like last week I spoke on the whisper of God. Part of that was just because it was where I was at. I wanted you to hear a little bit of my story of the last month. And even though it was kind of a negative message looking at me, you know, as far as me being disobedient to the Lord, I hope it related to you. I had several people come to me and say, man, God has whispered to me. I remember when God nudged me and told me to do this, and you were obedient. And so, which praise the Lord for that. So here we are. We're getting ready to start. We do a couple activities a year, and Vacation Bible School is one of them. Hey, if we're going to do anything, let's do it with all of our ability. And I fully believe, you know, God gives us this old gymnasium here. This used to be the old Jameson Center. And we love it because there's plywood on the walls. You can't hurt these walls. And so we tape, we staple, we screw and nail into it, and we just plug holes later, and we'll repaint. That's what we do. It's for the use, you know. I remember the first year we went to Harrisonville to do their VBS. We walked in, and they had like one poster on the wall, Rome. It's the thing you buy from group publications. We walked in, and nobody was no costumes. And I said, my gosh, it looks like an insane asylum in here. Every room was very sterile, clean, freshly painted, because it was a brand new building. And they're like, well, we don't want to mess up our building. You know, and I was like, well, let us mess it up then. You know, what in the world? Your building is for the use. And so I understand if something's new. I know what people, you know how it is. You get new carpet, you're like, everybody take off your shoes. That lasts 2 weeks, you know. But I just love that our church is willing to go all out. And because what we're doing is actually we're going to a passage in the Bible. It's when the Apostle Paul was in Rome. And then we got a little underground church we're tying in with it. So I want to take you to the passage in Scripture today where this is real. This is a real story. But of course, we're acting this week. But we're going to act and treat it as though it's real, as though we existed in that time. That's why everybody's got to wear a tunic. Now, just to let you know, just to give you a little bit of heads up, our children will register outside here. And when they come in this back door, we'll have people there telling them where to come in. What we have is this underground church. Because back in the day when Paul was coming through, Paul was actually, he's in prison in Rome. Like, it is not a great thing to be a Christian. Think about this. They took the leader of Christianity and they liked him so well, they killed him. They crucified him. Everybody always says they want to be like Jesus. Like they think Jesus was just, what, nice and friendly? Let people roll all over him? That's almost how like they view Jesus. And there's people, yeah, I want to be like Jesus. Well, get ready because you're about to get crucified. That's what happens. Because basically Jesus went against a culture. He went against religious culture. He went against the culture of the world. And that's what the Bible does. If we're going to be a people that stands up for God's word. So believers back in that day, they just crucified Christ. And just to say that you're a follower of Christ puts you in a bad spot. They just killed your leader, right? So we've got Brandon and Amelia. They're going to be our leaders in the underground church. So basically, every day when the kids come in, this back room is darkened. They put black paper and sheets back there. They're going to darken the room and have like a little fire in there, almost like a caves type of setting. They'll come through there, and Brandon and Amelia is going to play a part. They're going to be, so they'll transition, our kids will transition from the outside to humid, Warren County, where the drinking water is not very good, and they're going to come in this room in here, and Brandon and Amelia is going to be like, hey, guys, this is the underground church. Like, it's not popular to be a Christian right now. So the kids will have to crawl through. And I came in here last night, and I didn't realize they hung, like, fishing line at different spots. And I literally was going through the door. I'm like, what the heck? I said, what's this fishing line there for? And Becky's like, it's supposed to be like spider webs. Then it came. And it did feel kind of weird, you know. And then they'll have to crawl through this tunnel to get. And so when they come in here, they're going from outside, and they'll walk in here, and it looks like a whole nother atmosphere. This is Rome. And so everybody will be dressed like we're playing the part. And so now in the story we're going to use, what happens is we'll sing, we'll have fun in here. Everybody will be in little tribe groups. Tonight's the first night. Sometimes it's weird. You might have 3 kids in your group tonight. And then it starts growing. By the time it's over, you're like, can I have some help? I got 15 children, you know. So, or you have 3 kids and the 2 of them you have are like special needs. It's hard. You're going to need some help, right? And so, but you'll have a tribe, and you're going to take people through Rome. So as you go through, there's shops, there's going to be a marketplace. We're going to have real animals here. You know, we'll bring some pigs, and those some goats and chickens, the whole. We're going to let them feel like, hey, it's Rome. Welcome to the marketplace. And a lot of our marketplace people, they're not Christian people. They're going to be like in Rome, a place that had many different gods. They're going to believe all kinds of wild things, and they're going to make things, and there'll be wreaths and metal things and painting and all kinds of. But at one point, they'll stop, and they'll get to see the Apostle Paul. When the Apostle Paul landed in Rome, I'm going to prove this to you in a minute, he's in prison. And so what they gave him is they gave him a guard that was with him, a soldier that was just there for the watching. And so we've got Paul. And we've got, I think, what's the soldier's name? Brutus? Brutus. Step up, guys. Stand up real quick. These men right here are playing the part. Now listen, so, yeah. Let's go, man. So, you guys sit down. Thank you. When they come to the room, they're going to introduce themselves. I'm Paul, and this is Brutus. Now remember, the soldier, he's a Roman soldier. He's now Christian. And he's watching Paul, and I'm going to show you something here in a minute. It's pretty cool. They're going to tell a little bit of the story, a little bit about what's going on. And then they'll get to go from there, and they'll end up spending a little time back with Brandon and Amelia. They'll have another cave setting over there where they'll come in, and like the underground church. Now remember, the whole time tonight, what's going to happen is there's some guards. There's guards, Roman guards will be, and they'll look distinctly, have garbs on and helmets, the whole bit. And they'll be going around, and remember, they're not happy about this deal. They've got Paul in prison, right? And so they're looking. And so that's why you need to have a little bit of reverence, like a little bit of fear, like, oh my gosh, what could happen here? I mean, these guys are thieves. They'll take your money. They'll come in. And matter of fact, one of the last nights, we'll shut down a shop. We'll close it down and say, you know, and put a sign on the door and lock that thing down. But as they're going to be walking around all week, the cool part about this whole story is, Paul has got this soldier with him. By the time the week's going to end, we're going to see this soldier who is really kind of just a nasty attitude. He starts softening up because he's hearing the words of the Bible. And the gospel starts changing. And right in front of our students, they're going to see the transformation that takes place in this guard. And so it's going to be a fun week if we make it fun. But these are real things we're going to be teaching. So you know what you do? Play the part, man. Just play the part. I'd like to introduce you this morning. I know most of us know the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul in the Bible, he wrote 13 books of the New Testament. So most of us are familiar with him, but I would like to give you a quick introduction of his life and then take you quickly to where he ends up in Rome so that we all know what the Bible says. We all know the times we're in, the scene is set, and you're going to come in here tonight. And you'll be able to talk and play right along. So if you take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 7. First of all, I would like to take you to Saul. The apostle's Paul. His name was Saul. It kind of depends on where he's from. What they called him. And so at this point in time, Paul, just like anybody else, is an unsaved man. People sometimes see a godly man or a godly woman, and they immediately think that what? Man, she must have had it good. I bet she was raised in a great home. You know, I think you ladies years ago, I remember there was this retreat they went to, and the lady up front, there was ladies that says, man, I wish I could be like her. They kept saying that, like, we want to speak like you and be like you. This lady would have thousands of people come listening to her. And so the next day, this lady came in with no makeup on in her PJs and just told her background story of a life of abuse, a life of being alone, a life of trouble. And the day came she met Jesus Christ, and it changed her life. You know, sometimes people see that. But a lot of times we forget there's a background story. The Apostle Paul, he was once named Saul, and he was a lost man. There's a story in the Bible where the church was being greatly persecuted. And in Acts chapter 7, there's a guy named Stephen, and they're killing this guy. They're literally, the crowd, the mob is killing him because he's testifying and preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look at Acts chapter 7 and verse 58, they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. This is his first mention in the Bible. So they lay their clothes at his feet. And it says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. They killed him. The whole time they're killing Stephen, Saul is there, and he's like holding everybody's clothing. You can see in chapter 8, the very next verse, chapter 8 and verse 1, Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church. Look at verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and he was hailing, hauling men and women, committing them to prison. It says, therefore, they were scattered about everywhere, preaching the word. So Saul, as they were killing Christians, he's part of it. He's gathering their garments. Then you see in chapter 8, he was partaking. He had rules and he had orders, and he was going around, and anybody that claimed to be a Christian, he was able to put them in prison. And isn't that crazy? This was his life before Christ. This is how he ends up his life after meeting Jesus Christ. He ends up a prisoner. Everything that he did to others was done to him. And so here he is as an unsaved man. And matter of fact, the Bible says a lot about him in the book of Philippians. If you want to turn to the book of Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, and then there's the book of Philippians chapter 3. Paul speaks up and says this, Philippians chapter 3. He starts giving his credentials. He says this, verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he might trust in the flesh, I more. Look at verse 5. Philippians 3, 5. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He was all of these things. Paul wasn't just an average dude. Paul, if you look at his education that a Pharisee needed to have, I mean, he was well-trained. He was a leader. And so this was Saul. But this was before he met. He was an unsaved man. Now listen, everybody's born in this condition. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now Paul was educated. He was a leader. Those things are kind of irrelevant. He was a religious man. Some people are not religious. At the end of the day, we're all born in sin, right? The Bible says ever since Adam at the beginning, when he sinned, mom and dad are producing kids. Human seed, it's human sin. That's what it is. You got a nature of sinfulness. Everybody comes in this world in the same condition. Naked and in trouble. Naked, and the Bible says in Job, the sparks fly upwards, right? So he was an unsaved man. Now, we call him Paul. And that's but before he was saved, you only heard the word Saul. But then something happens. As he's hauling men and women to prison, as he's persecuting people that say they are Christians. Now, for you and me, this is weird because we grew up in the Western part of the world. Christianity now is just like the thing to do. A lot of people do church. They got Christian songs now playing on every radio station. Like you can find a Christian song here and there. Like it's almost like a popular thing. Well, in our country, it's popular. Do whatever you want to do. You can be whoever you want to be. If you're a guy and you want to claim to be a Christian, you can be a Buddhist. You can say you're a Hindu. You can say you don't believe in there's a God. You can say you're a woman for the love of Pete. And it's okay, because that's where the world we live in. Time has changed. Standards are down. Truth becomes what you believe truth is. That's what everybody says today. There's no standard for truth. But there was a day, especially when Christianity first came out the gate, where, man, it was tough. The only missionary we support that has some difficulty in this sense would be Pradeep. The Hindus over in India, people think Hindus are a very peaceful people. Don't believe it for a second. When they go and they take the gospel and they hand out Bibles and they go to widows, Hindus do not like that. They don't like when you proselytize. So they will come in, and we've seen pictures. They'll beat these guys down. They'll burn their homes. We've seen, he'll post pictures of guys with their skulls split open. He's like, man, pray for this brother right here. We need to find their family a home. And I mean, you see this. I bet every 3 months he posts a picture of like some sort of persecution that happens. There are still places in our world where this happens. And I'm here to tell you, just in the Western part of the world, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around this. Now, listen, I think the day is probably going to come where we're going to see more of it. We're going to be labeled as we stand with the Bible. We're going to be labeled with having hate speech and all that type of business. In a politically correct world, if you're going to stand up for the Bible, you're probably going to get it eventually, at some point. And I don't know when and how this is going to work. But even right now, we're labeled as that. Like, people label us as like, you know, yeah, you're a Christian. You hate gay people. We do not hate people that are gay. Everybody's born in sin. People have preferences and choices. And I got news for you. As a sinner, all your choices are jacked up and wrong. Everybody's. It don't matter. But there's a few people out there that are idiots, and we all get labeled as an idiot. Right? Everybody always thinks that. You know, and, you know, my mom will do that to me sometimes. You know, just like maybe my political view. She'll turn around on me and just say, well, yeah, that's your president. I'm like, yeah, he's the guy I voted for. I didn't feel like I had another choice in the matter. You know, like, don't put me on that. I'm a Christian. I believe the Bible. Every human being messes up. It's not perfect out there. But see, we get labeled. I'm telling you, that day's probably going to come. But tonight, as we come in, we're going to enter this period of time where the Apostle Paul, at first he was named Saul, and then we find in Acts chapter 9, in verse 1, Acts 9, 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest. He desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of, watch this way. Notice what the church is called, this way. This was before the name Christian ever was penned down on paper. They didn't call people Christians then. They said people of the way. Of this way, you find, I'll show you this here in a minute. I'm going to show you like seven verses that have this. Whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Verse 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? There was some dominant figure. He didn't quite know who it was, some higher power that put him on his butt. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. This is what we call Saul's conversion. This is when he met the Lord. Now, this is a weird story. I know it. Because remember, the Bible's not complete yet. So there's a lot of wild things that happen in the Bible that are not to be repeated today. So a light shone, blew him off his horse on the road to Damascus. And all of a sudden he said, who art thou, Lord? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus revealed himself and says, I am the Lord. So he recognized who Jesus was. And then he said, what would you have me do? Two great questions, by the way. Today, who is the Lord? Is there a God? Why are we here? These are good questions that people try to live out and try to answer. But Saul was an unsaved man. And now we see here that he is confronted with Jesus Christ, a light from heaven. And he actually starts obeying. He says, what would you have me do? So two questions would be a great questions for everybody to answer in this room today. Who art thou, Lord? Some of you are like, I'm not sure. I don't know what I'm in church for. What am I doing here? Why do I feel this way? Is the Bible true? Like, these are all great questions. Then it's just, what will thou have me to do? And some of you have been Christian for a while. You've never asked that question. You just do what you like to do. You do the same thing you did before you met Christ, and you think it's okay. You're going to find out night two of EBS, it's not okay. You can't be the same person after being confronted with Jesus Christ. You can't. So A, he's an unsaved man. B, now we see that he gets saved in Acts chapter 9. The next thing I want to say, so he was an unsaved man, then he became a saved man. And you know what the third thing I want to point out? This is real simple, and that is he was a growing man. When you become a Christian, the Bible says in John 3:3 that, like, he says, how does this all happen? How can I get eternal life? And the Bible says you must be born again. So see, when you meet Jesus Christ, what happens, you meet him, he'll take his spirit and put it inside of you. So you accept the seed of the word, just like getting pregnant. A sinful seed of your dad enters a sinful body of your mom and outproduces a sinful kid called Mike Blake. That's how it works for everybody. Well, the Bible's called the incorruptible seed of God's word. When somebody gives you the seed of the Bible and you accept it and open it up, that seed plants inside of you and you become born again. It's a spiritual term. People don't use that a whole lot today, but being born again, you're brand new. So you're a baby. Guys, babies need to grow. Naturally, babies should grow. They need to be. So when people get saved here, you know what we do? We treat them like a baby. And we're just like, hey, we will love them. They're going to mess up. Babies are messy, right? They eat anything. They'll put anything. And we go, oh, 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 you know, and we teach them. And before you know it, we're teaching them to walk. And before you know it, they're grown adults and they can reproduce. It's pretty incredible. It happens the same way spiritually. This is what our church wants to do with people. But I wanted to point out something. Paul was a growing man. He was discipled. He grew. If you want to see the big growing passage, I like it over in the book of Galatians. If you're quick, go to Galatians chapter 1. This is kind of a beautiful passage. Galatians 1 and verse 15. Watch in Galatians 1:15, it says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, verse 16, Paul says, to reveal a son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. Isn't it interesting? Jesus spent about 3 years with the 12 apostles to disciple them. Paul gets saved, and since he got saved uniquely, blown off by the light from heaven, Jesus Christ, the next thing you know, he separates for 3 years, and he goes into the desert place. Paul's a unique character. The Bible says he was one born out of due time, but it says that 3 years he went to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Another of the apostles saw none save James, the Lord's brother. Now these things write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions, and then he tells a little bit more of a story. So I just want you to know that you hear of, even though right away when Saul gets saved, he proclaims what he knows, but he don't know nothing. He's got to grow up. So church, we got to grow. He was unsaved, then he became saved, and then he's got to grow. That's what makes our church uncomfortable, unlike a lot of other churches. We don't want you to come to church here and just be comfortable, because we know the key to growing is to be uncomfortable. The key to change is to get uncomfortable. People don't want to do that. They always want to pick a church that does what? Tickles their ear. They can come in and there's no responsibility, no eyes on you. And a lot of times people say this, I don't like to go to that church because they judge people. Be careful of that. There are people out there that will judge you. There's also a lot of people out there that don't want anybody looking at them. They don't anybody want anybody talking with them or to them or looking at their world. That's a bad thing too, because you'll never grow, right? So if we go back to the book of Acts, you can see in Acts chapter 9, he gets saved, but he also, God puts him with some people. In verse 17, a guy named Ananias, you know, grabs him and he starts growing. Look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 17. It says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him and said, brother Saul. See, Saul, he was unsaved. Now he's a brother. The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. See, because human beings got a dead spirit. That's what connects to God. Your spirit's dead. We're born that way, by the way. You got a body, soul, and a spirit. Your spirit's dead. That's the whole point. Jesus Christ came to revive that dead spirit. The first Adam, he had a connection with God. His spirit was very much alive. Do you remember when he took of the fruit? And the Bible said, you take of that fruit, you're going to die. When Adam took of the fruit, that grape, he didn't pass out dead. He lived. He died spiritually. His spirit died. He lost his connection with God. So this is exactly what he's talking about here. He says, you'll receive your sight, be filled with the Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith. And watch this. After Saul meets Jesus, here's what's happened. It says, he arose. Then he was baptized. When he'd received meat, see, he began to eat. He was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. You know why he could? Well, we already read. He was a Pharisee. He had every right to stand up in that synagogue. People would have expected him to. But now he comes with a different message. Now he comes with a new message. He is now a Christian. So this growth process in his life, I just want to let you know that once you get saved, you got to get up. You got to arise. You need to be baptized. Baptism's the first step of obedience. If people ain't, baptism doesn't save people, right? It just shows that they are saved, right? That they're going to resurrect a new life. It's, I'm going to follow the Lord. That's all that baptism is. So that's why in this church, if people won't get baptized, we stop discipleship. Growth's over. You won't take these baby steps at the beginning? Come on. Arise, get baptized. Then he ate meat, a good picture of kind of eating, right? Spiritually eat of the Bible, right? Then you get strengthened, and then it says he went out preaching. So you can just see very quickly, but actually we read in Galatians, it took about a 3-year growth period for him to get to where he was now a leader in writing books to the church. This guy authored 13 books of the New Testament, but he started off just like you and me, unsaved, lost. Didn't know if he was on foot or horseback. He thought he was because he was educated in a religious system. He had a great title. He was a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. So he thought he was something. So notice this, he was an unsaved man, he became a saved man, then he was a growing man, and then he became a ministry man. You can see in this passage in Acts, he started preaching right away, telling people about the change in his life. Paul constantly calls himself an apostle. That word means I'm a missionary. I'm a sent one from the Lord Jesus Christ. So just to let you know that, he became a guy that's a ministry guy. He's a strange one. His testimony is a little bit different than a lot of ours. But I just wanted to point that out. Guys, it's the simple steps of growth. And he's lost, he gets saved, then he begins to grow, and then he ministers. That's what's expected of every Christian on the planet. Those four things. Now, you minister different ways. It don't mean that everybody's going to stand up and like preach out loud or even teach a group of people. You know, it don't mean that. We're all different. We all got different gifts and abilities. But you've got to get to the point where you meet Jesus Christ, and then out the back door, you know what you're doing? You're ministering. You're serving. You're a giver. That's what you do, because we're all born takers. And you end up being a giver. You end up being a great minister. So I just want you to know that this is the Paul that we're dealing with here. What a testimony he had, a changed life. And I love how it says in Acts 9, we read that he persecuted people in this way. This way. Because this was before Acts chapter 11, before they were first called Christians. They got the name Christian. By the way, being a Christian, that was a name given to them because they hated Christ. They're like, yeah, that guy's like a little Christ. He's a Christian. And they put that name on him. Like, it was not necessarily, we look at it like it's a great name today. I'm proud to be a Christian. Well, that's a good thing. But I want you to know, the lost world kind of gave that names to people and called them Christians. And so up until that point, it's called the Way. If you're in the book of Acts with me, you go to Acts chapter 18. Acts 18 and verse 26, he says this. This is a Jew named Apollos. It says in verse 26, he began boldly to speak in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla, these are two Christians, they heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They expounded to him the way. They were teaching the Bible, the things they knew about Christianity. They were saying, let's teach the way more perfectly. There's a lot of churches, a lot of denominations. There's a lot of crazy churches. There's a lot of insane beliefs out there. Even in this town, there's churches. You'd think, man, don't we all believe the same thing? No, there's people out there who believe crazy things. It's our job to go to the Bible and say, let's expound the way more perfectly. The way the Bible says to do it. Stick to the Bible, right? So there's a way. This is what I like that Christianity in the book of Acts is often called the way. Because guys, you know what that tells you? Christianity is a lifestyle. It's not just saying, I'm a Christian. That's who I am. I go to the Maple City Baptist Church. People should see the way that you live your life and go, something is different about her. Boy, something's different about him. He walks to the beat of a different drummer. There's a way that he's following that, and it pulls people in. If you go to Acts chapter 19 and verse 9, he says, and when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude. See, people that didn't believe, they spoke evil about what? The way that Christians lived. So you can see in this time in history, a lot of it was underground because it wasn't real popular. In verse 23, it says again, in the same time there arose no small stir about that way. There's a way. There's a way. In chapter 22 of Acts, it says in verse 3 and 4, Paul's giving his story. Look at verse 3. And I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye are all this day. And I persecuted this way. Paul persecuted the way. Until he became a Christian, and then it became his way. He took the way that God had him to take. In chapter 24, they say the way is called heresy. At the end of chapter 24, they gave knowledge of that way. I just wanted to point out something, that it's a way. Christianity is a lifestyle. So today, like, we're not just wanting to teach our kids during vacation Bible school just about the way. No, here we are in church this morning, and there's a way that we should be living our lives. There's a way and a path that the Bible says. And it's, guys, and it's contrary to the culture. That's the big thing with Western Christianity. Christianity is, we want to make it cool in the culture. We're cool. You're a fool. No, the way is going to go contrary to culture. You're going to stand up for God's word, and you're going to be like Jesus Christ. It's going to cost you something. That's why a lot of people don't follow the way. Oh, they'll just follow it from a distance because it's safe that way. That way I can play the part. So my question, can anybody by your life and my life, can they say, there's something different here. He walks a different path, a different way. Or some of you, you talk like everybody else. You act like everybody. You do the habits that everybody else does. You're no different than anybody else. Except in your mind, you've convinced yourself you're cooler because you know Jesus. That's ridiculous. Read the Bible and you'll say, something's different here. By now, some of you should be known as being a ministry man. A lot of you need to grow. You haven't grown far enough yet. You should be known as a ministry man, just like the Apostle Paul. Now, let me get to the juicy part. The juicy part is how in the world does he end up in Rome, and then we'll get it. I want you to know the Apostle Paul. He wrote 13 books of the Bible. He took 3 big mission trips, planted many churches, and you know, just a great testimony, a good example for all of you and me. But I want you to know that Paul, at one point, he gets done with this, towards the end of this like third journey, and he ends up getting in trouble. He's been put in jail and released several times. And if you go to Acts chapter 21, I'd like to show you just a few things. In Acts chapter 21, we know that the apostle, before that, go to Acts 20. Just let me show you this verse. In Acts chapter 20, look at verse 21. Acts 20, 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, Paul speaking, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that should befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saving that bonds and afflictions abide me. Like Paul is bound in his spirit that he's like, yeah, and I'm going bound in my spirit to Jerusalem. And guys, he was not only bound but changed physically. He was like, in my spirit, I'm in bonds because these people need the word. They don't know the way. They're lost, and I'm going to show them the way. Everywhere he went, that's what the Apostle Paul did. He showed people the way. Our mission is no different. I want you to know, as the Church of Jesus Christ, you know, me and you, we know the way. We know the way that people should go. We should be bold everywhere we go. Everybody we talk to. It don't mean people have to agree with us, right? That's what we don't want to get rejected a lot. But we know the way. And people think, people say, yeah, that guy just needs to get a job, man. If he had a job, his life would change. Oh, if that girl would just get off the dope, man, her life would be different. So that's the answer? Because I know people that are just or miserable, and they're not on the dope. What's the deal? They're both born in sin. There's a way. There's a spirit inside of a man that needs to be revived, that can only be revived through the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I'm bound in the spirit to go. I'm going to go to Jerusalem and give him the goods. That's what I'm going to do. He was bound to determine. And then check out chapter 21 and verse 4. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul, watch this, through the Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. So the first time they spoke to Paul and said that he should not go to Jerusalem. These are Christians, and it says they spoke through the Spirit. Now remember this. Paul said he was bound in the Spirit to go. He was willing to abide whatever happened, even the afflictions that would come along with it, that he would go to Jerusalem. He was bound in his spirit. And see, these believers get together and they just said, hey, you shouldn't go to Jerusalem. And then you go down to look at verse 11. When he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. A second time, somebody bounds him by his, you know, think of his tunic, and they bound him by it and just said, this is what's going to happen to the man that goes, this guy, he's going to be bound when he gets to Jerusalem. He's getting fair warning that when he heads to Jerusalem, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be very, very difficult. And that's why even towards the end here, look at verse 12. When he heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. So the warning was there. Don't go. Don't go to Jerusalem. Because you know what? Bad things are going to happen there. The crazy thing about Paul is this. Most of us would say, oh, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Yeah, you're probably going to go to prison. You're going to get bound and get locked up. And most people would say, I'm not going that way. For the love of Pete, why would I do that? That's difficult. Paul was different. He embraced the uncomfortable. He knew what God wanted him to do, no matter the cost. Everybody likes Christianity until it costs you something. Until it costs you a relationship. It costs you a friend. It costs you some family members. That's when people drop out like flies. And that's why Paul said from the very beginning, he says, I'm in. I'm in. No matter what the case, I'll do it. So Paul, it says he went anyway. And that's why he said in chapter 20, we read it where he says, I don't care. I'll go no matter prison, afflictions. He goes, I'm convinced that this is what God wants me to do. And he says, as a matter of fact, he just says, I don't value my life. I want to finish my course with joy and obey the Lord. Of course, you know what they said in Acts 21. Look what they said in verse 14. When he would not be persuaded, we cease saying this, the will of the Lord be done. And guys, you know what happened? This is where we're going to next. Paul goes to Jerusalem, a prisoner. And because of that move, he ends up in Rome. But he knew it was going to be bad. Ain't that wild? We had a friend of ours not too many years ago that he said, I feel like God's leading me to go to Pakistan. We're like, are you sure about that? Pakistan? A young young family love Jesus? Yeah, because there's people in Pakistan that need to know the way. They're lost. Yeah, dude, but if they know what you're really about, and guess what? He found a Christian hospital in Pakistan that knew everybody was Christians, but they needed medical care. And he happened to have a nursing degree. So he went over, bold as a lion. People getting ready to have heart surgeries, able to pray with them. In the middle of Muslim territory, where you think people would hate your guts. You know, they hate their hate your guts until your mom's on the table dying. And they're like, can you help us? And they say, yes, we can. And then they get the opportunity to tell them about the way. Now, there are people that get their lives taken doing that kind of business. It's not easy for sure. So I want you to see this timeline. Paul goes bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. That's what he does. He purposed in his spirit. And now, where Rome comes in, you know, we've already seen they told him not to go. The friends plead him not to go. Paul just refuses to turn back. And I like that. He won't back down. No, I won't back down. And he stood his ground. And he gets arrested in Acts chapter 21 and verse 27. He's arrested. Knowing the risks, he chose faithfulness over safety, and he went anyways. If you study the book of Rome in the Bible, if you look at Acts chapter, but you know this, even though the Jews had Jesus killed, they used the Roman soldiers to do it. It was a Roman crucifixion. I mean, Rome was known for this. They were world dominant at the time. And so in Acts chapter 19 and verse 21, look what Paul says. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in his spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. Paul says, Jerusalem, then Rome. And they're like, don't go to Jerusalem. The man that's bound, you're going to go bound to Jerusalem. This is going to be terrible, you know. And a lot of people say, why would Paul be disobedient to the Spirit of God? Let me tell you what I think he was disobedient to. The only thing I think he rebelled against was the difficulty he was going to face. That made him the rebel. Dude, there's going to be afflictions there. You're probably going to die there. He's like, I'm okay with that. You know how many people he killed and put in prison? He said, then that's what I deserve. He was okay with it. What I love about this is, you know, I've heard messages where people say, yeah, he's in prison in Jerusalem. He shouldn't be in jail, shouldn't be in prison there. He disobeyed. He shouldn't have went there. And all of a sudden, what do you do with the passage like Acts chapter 23? He's sitting in prison. In Acts chapter 23, it says in verse 11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified to me in Jerusalem, so thou must bear witness also at Rome. He's sitting in jail, and the Spirit of God comes down and says, man, you've witnessed me here. He goes, you're going to do the same thing in Rome. And then the next thing you know, we find ourselves in Acts chapter 28. If you want to go to the very end of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28 and verse 14. Where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. This is where we're at tonight. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appia Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. I'm not sure it's the tavern you're thinking about, but or that I was thinking about. Verse 16, and when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. This is tonight. This is all week this week. We will be in a room with Paul and the soldier. Right here, this verse. There was a soldier that kept him. It came to pass after 3 days, Paul called the chiefs. Paul ministered there. So he had a soldier right there. And this is what I wanted to show you. So guys, check this out. Now, if you look at verse 30, look at the last chapter, 28:30, verse 30. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. Paul was a prisoner, but he actually rented his own little place. He had his own little apartment, a hired house, and received all that came in unto him. So even though Paul was under house arrest, he had a guard with him. It's like somebody today, we got technology today, so they're like, put an ankle bracelet on that guy and turn him loose. Instead, Paul, his ankle bracelet was this soldier. He's got a hired house, meaning Paul paid rent here. And notice Paul couldn't go to churches, but the churches could come to him. That's exactly, he was able to minister. He had a soldier there, but people were free to come to him. He wasn't free to go to them, but they could come visit him. By the way, I want you to know, you know, most people sitting in prison, you know, prison's not a good place to be. Nobody really wants to be there. But even though there's history, there's people in the underground church in history that would buy one-way tickets and go places. There's missionaries I've read about that go to Ireland. They're like, missionaries can't go to Ireland. Ireland won't let you in. Well, what's a job in Ireland that nobody wants to do? Well, one job is nobody wants to dig graves there. The lowest of the low dig graves. So two guys say, we want to go as missionaries over there. And they wouldn't let them in. They're just like, but we're grave diggers. That's what we want to do. And they're like, well, come on in. To dig graves the rest of their life just so they can show people the way. There's Moravian missionaries that would do the wildest of things to get to places. And they're like, the only way you can get into this country, in this area, yeah, no, we won't welcome you. We don't want Christianity here. And these guys would sell themselves into slavery the rest of their lives. I would sell myself as a slave the rest of my life to come to this country. And all of a sudden, a guy would be a slave in a rich man's house. And before you know it, everybody he could talk to, he was telling them about the way. Unbelievable. This is exactly the Apostle Paul. While he's sitting in jail, you know what he's doing? Wrote the book of Ephesians. Wrote the book of Philippians. He wrote the book of Colossians. They even had a guy come in and write with him while he's in his own hired house. And the soldier there let it happen. He's like, well, I know where he's at. He ain't going anywhere. Philemon, and then probably the book of 2 Timothy. So see, Paul seemed like he was very restricted. But guys, here's the key. God's word is never restricted. We are. It's not. The gospel, it kept going forward. It's not hindered. And you can understand, there's a ton of verses in Ephesians. Paul says, I'm the prisoner of Christ. He didn't look like he was a prisoner. I'm a prisoner in Rome. Yeah, you know, tonight our guy's name, Brutus? Is that his name? It's like, yeah, Brutus. I'm under care of Brutus. You know, that's going to be the soldier's name tonight, you know. And so, Brutus ain't holding me here. I'm held captive by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. And everybody wonders why you get to Ephesians chapter 6 and there's a whole passage on the armor of God. Why? Because there's a Roman soldier right next to Paul as he's writing to the church, and he looks over and he's like, you know, put on the helmet of salvation. There's a breastplate that you should wear. He details the armor of God just because for 2 years straight, he lived with the dude. And he wrote. The book of Philippians, he kept using the word bonds at the very end of it. He says, in the book of Philippians, I wrote this from Rome. He says this. In Philemon, he says, I'm Paul the aged and the prisoner of Jesus. He uses the worst of circumstances for God's glory. This is the Apostle Paul. This is what we're going to be talking about this week. The guy that was in bonds, right? The guy that, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 13, he just says, I'm ready. I'm even ready to suffer. This is what most people are not willing to do. I hope it's a message that we can take away this week. Now listen, let me give you, every night we're going to be the underground church. Every night you're going to get to see Paul with the guard that was with him, the soldier. Every night we're going to see a piece, a part of that. But there's a theme every night. And guys, listen, we got kids that are 4 and 5 years old here. So it's got to be simple. It's going to be hard because then we're going to have some guys that, you know, they're going in like the sixth grade. And you're like, man, how do you have somebody like this big and you have somebody this big? It's a hard task. And some of them ain't going to buy everything. You know, little kids can buy things. And the older kids are like, you are not. You know, that ain't true. You're acting. Hey, shut up, kid. You know, don't give it away, you know. We have some of the little ones that'll cry. We've seen them cry before because it's so real. They'll tell these stories. And we had a kid saved years ago when Mike Schmidt played the Apostle Paul. We had a kid from Harrisonville saved. And when the little girl got saved, she told her mom that night. Her mom said, you're too little to become a Christian. And she says, the Apostle Paul said. told me. They totally believed it. This is how we're going to live tonight, this week. So first of all, there's 5 points of this week. And guys, I've preached enough today. I don't need to preach these points. We're going to get them. But I just want you to know, every night, like the first night, there's a theme that God's love is a gift. So just make it that simple. This is a message that Paul preached. It's salvation. But it's a gift. You don't have to open the gift. We don't force anybody to do anything. Our goal is not to get a first grader or a second grader to do anything. They're too young. We can force them to do anything. We can make them eat cat turds tonight. We're not going to do that. That's not good. This is not about manipulation, is it? God gives us a will. They got to grow and get older, but we're planting seeds, baby. We're planting seeds that God's love is a gift. And then, that was an exaggeration. No kid's going to eat a cat turd. Well, mine would. But she was little. She was little then. My Josephine, man, she's ate it all before she could walk. The cat would puke, and we're like, get the puke, quick! Because Josie's like, I always told my wife, that's a reflection of your cooking. God's love changes us as night too. It changes us. We're conformed and transformed. When you receive the love of God, it changes you. Your life begins to transform. You need to grow. The third night's God's love is always with us, which we teach that. It's eternal security. It never leaves us. It's always there. And then the last two nights are basically God's love. It saves us and it's worth sharing. And we're going to see a conversion of a soldier the last night. We're going to see Paul, the guy that's with him, is finally going to let up and go, I believe. I've seen it now. I've witnessed it. So we're going to rejoice in that. That's what we're going to do. We're going to get all excited about that this whole week. So guys, do you see the Apostle Paul? Do you see him? Saul was an unsaved man. He met Jesus. He grew. Then he became a man of ministry. Tonight, we're in Acts chapter 28. All week long, we're going to be for the 2 years where Paul's in this hired house. He's got a soldier next to him. And he's going to encourage us as adults to pay the price. To do it. Even when it's tough. Some of you today, I hope you get the message. You're like, man, I need to grow. I need to grow more. Some of you, I need to minister like Paul. Every time things get tough, I back away. That's what people do. Discipleship gets real hard. Well, let's back away from that for a while. That's what we do because it's tough. It's hard. I just want to encourage you. You know, I played this song yesterday for my family in the car. When we travel a little bit, sometimes we just hit the radio, do a little bit of everything, hit all the golden oldies, you know, little country, little rock and roll. We're all over the board. And I finally had to bust out a little Frank Sinatra yesterday. He says, you know, that's life. It's what all the people say, because when you're riding high in April, you'll be shot down in May. But I know I'm going to change that tune because I'm going to be back in top at the end of June. He said, that's life. As funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks and they stomp out people's dreams. But I don't let it. I don't let it get me down, because this fine old world, it's just going to keep spinning around. That's when he says, I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn, and a king. I've been up and down, over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. It's exactly the theme, the Apostle Paul. It was tough, and he kept saying this. At the very end of this song, and that's what he says, he goes, I laid flat on my face, I just keep getting myself back up. My favorite line in this whole song is the line where he says, many times I thought of cutting out. He says, many a times. He says, that's life, and I can't deny it. Many times I thought of cutting out, but my heart won't buy it. I love that line. There's nothing shaking. Come here in this July. Because you know what he said he'd do? He'd roll himself up in a big ball and die. If there's no purpose to live for. And Paul says, nobody's going to squelch my dreams. God told me to go to Jerusalem. I'm going. I'm bound to my spirit to go. They're like, don't do it, dude. It's going to be hard there. You're going to go to jail. You're going to be in prison. He goes, that's fine. Then I'm going to start a prison ministry. That's what he did. And we read these books, these 5 books in the Bible. It's hard to read these books, and he's encouraging our heart to live for Jesus. And it never dawns on us that, yeah, It's easy for you to say, oh, yeah, he's in prison and he wrote that. He's in prison when he wrote about unity and joy there in Ephesians. He's in prison. And we need to take on that attitude, don't we? So I just want to encourage you tonight, church, let's come in a little bit fired up. It's going to be hard. We're going to be, my wife always says, she says, well, I'm going to be a family leader this year. And she goes, it's time to wrestle alligators. Like, you ain't never wrestled an alligator. She goes, I have too. And she names some kids, your kids, and they're like alligators. So we're going to have to deal with all that stuff. We want fun. We're going to dance. We're going to sing. We're going to eat snacks. We're going to push through. But at the end of the day, we're going to try to teach them a story about when Paul was in Rome. We're going to teach them the importance of the gospel. That was a message worth dying for. The underground church, there's going to be some suffering. One night, Brandon's going to get beat up. And he'll come back the next night and say, it's worth it. I'm still going to follow the Lord. Most people, when you get your butt kicked, you're like, my gosh. But no, he gets right back in the race.